Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of It's About Bravo. I'm Modesto.
I'm Reed.
And guys, we have been gifted with something that I've been waiting for so long. Portia Williams is back on our TV. She might not get the network right, but she's back, baby. We have so much going on. We cannot do my opinion this week. Let's just get right into Ultimate Girls Trip. So this is the new season of The Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, season 3 in Thailand.
Confronting someone
about your lies, Leah.
What?
Yeah, Leah.
Last night, you were saying that you were so bored.
Yeah, I was bored last night.
So you say to the whole damn table, why don't y'all get drunk or something? I'm bored.
Can you guys, like, get drunk or something?
Leah says she's bored.
Oh, why don't you guys, like, order shots?
Like, we're your drunk monkeys or something. Like, oh, we're not entertaining unless we're...
Okay, Reed, you said on this podcast here, and Maddie in our group chat thought that it was me, that you said, let's just skip to season 4 of Ultimate Girls Trip, because I'm not even excited about season 3. And these bitches in the Bravo group chat tried to read me, saying that I wasn't excited, and I said, guys, Portia Williams is my number one. I'm also a Leah McSweeney stan. I fucking love Whitney and her healing journey. I love my fucking problematic Cuban mamas. You think that this would not be one of my favorite seasons? I already knew this was going to be, like, good for me. I just didn't know that it was going to be good for everybody. This shit.
It's honestly so good. I will say, I have short-term memory loss, I think, so I can't really tell you if I said that or not. But I have, like, been saying for a while that I predicted that this season of Ultimate Girls Trip would not be very good. It just didn't seem like, based off what we were seeing, I mean, the trailer at BravoCon had some funny moments, like the Portia by Leah by thing. But, and this is not just my opinion, I feel like a lot of people online were saying,
no, I think it was
this cast kind of seems a little boring. Yeah, like, you know, Giselle doesn't have Robin. It's like, I think there was just, like, definitely some hesitation, you know. We're entering the third season of this thing and they're still experimenting and trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work. And I was just worried that maybe season 3 would be when they flopped a little bit and maybe people would lose interest in Ultimate Girls Trip, which is not what I wanted to happen. But, you know, we've talked about it before on this podcast. Season 3 of any Housewives show seems to be when shit starts to get going. And Ultimate Girls Trip is clearly no different. Season 3 might be my favorite season of Ultimate Girls Trip that we've had so far, but we've only had 3 episodes, so I'll reserve my final judgment until it's over. But I just feel like these women work so well together. I was really pleasantly surprised. I thought Heather and Whitney would kind of be a snooze fest, but Heather has certainly been the center of a lot of the drama. Portia's fucking hilarious.
One of the funniest people ever. I can't.
Yeah. Leah is a bull in a china shop and is definitely going to get shit popping off. Candace is one of the dirtiest readers we've ever seen. Giselle loves to stir the pot. And then you've got Alexia and Marisol who just kind of sit in the corner and talk shit about everybody else. I don't know why I thought this would be boring. It's been so much fun to watch so far.
It's been one of the funniest things that we've seen. Mark my words, they're going to do this again with season 5 where they have all, like, current people on and maybe one or two that are, like, in limbo past. I think that's what's making this so fucking great is that we have Alexia and Marisol who are currently on their franchise. We have Whitney and Heather currently on their franchise. They're both coming off of, like, incredible seasons. Candace and Giselle coming off a you know, tumultuous season between them two. So they're bringing in all this drama. And then you have two outsiders. Let us not forget that this was Tinsley Mortimer's spot. And she quit like 4 days before filming. She dropped. So Portia
came in.
Thank God for Mona Clip. Honestly, though, it would have been a little bit of a gag to see both Portia and Tinsley there, like 9 Housewives. I think that would have been great because I think Tinsley is just like, I think she would have fit in.
Cracks me up. Yeah, I'm not a Tinsley hater. Perfectly.
No, I love that. That's mother to me.
But let's be honest, like if you're choosing between Portia.
Oh, bitch, there's no choice.
Portia makes it so funny. I agree with you. Yeah, it's interesting because the first season of Ultimate Girls Trip was sort of like that's back when we thought it was going to be called All Stars, like Housewives All Stars. And it did feel like an all-star season. Like it had all these really like heavy hitter names like Kyle, Teresa, Luann, Ramona, Kenya. And I enjoyed that season, but when we look back on it, it really didn't have a whole lot of drama. Like, Teresa was very mild. She really wasn't the Teresa that we expected. And it was really just a lot of like Kenya versus Ramona and everyone versus Ramona. Season two had a lot of really fun moments with the Ex-Wives Club theme at Dorinda's, but I'm not a big fan of the Berkshires. I think it's kind of boring. I think it was location
was like the problem with like, season two, because they had that cast.
Yeah, like Vicky kind of and Tamra just complaining about being trapped in the Berkshires was kind of how I felt watching that season. Like, can you guys do anything else than like walk around this big creepy house?
My favorite moment of that season will always be the "If I die now, tell everybody she died sad."
She died sad.
And Portia or Phaedra being like, "No, no, you're not gonna die sad."
And that season was hilarious and a lot of fun. And yeah, you're right. Like, everyone was an ex-wife, so they had like this bond over that. This season feels like finally something different. I know the theme originally was supposed to be dynamic duos, and that kind of got ruined when Tinsley left. But I think it's worked out so well that you've got, first of all, a representation from some of the newer franchises finally. Yeah. So instead of like focusing so much on Beverly Hills, New York, New Jersey, OC, we're finally getting Miami representation, Potomac representation, and Salt Lake representation. Plus, you get Portia from Atlanta, Leah from New York. And those are, like you said, your two in limbo people. At this time, Leah, they're asking Leah, what's going on with Roni? Are you still a housewife? And she's like, I don't know. And it's so interesting because we definitely know now. But when they were filming, that was back last year when we weren't really sure what was going on, if there was really going to be a cast shakeup. We didn't know. Yeah. And neither did Leah.
Literally, she was in limbo. And then the second that the episode opens up with Portia being the narrator and taking us from city to city and being like, the Salt Lake cousins, they always got drama. Candace, now she's going to read. Leah, she's a wild card. And like, just going to all of them packing, I was like, this is cinema. Like, Portia Williams is one of the funniest people. I want to get into, so they're traveling. They travel for like fucking days. It's like the weirdest traveling because a lot of them are on their own planes. And for some reason, Portia, Leah, and Marisol end up on the same plane and traveling together for 20 hours. And I'm like, this is bizarre, but it like works. So we have them all entering the house in different places. And when Pepsi, the icon, the only time someone posted this, and I think it was Faces by Bravo, posted the only time I'll ever choose Pepsi over Coke is in, in this instance. Pepsi is their Thailand house manager, and he is just a shady little fucker. I live for him. But when he was like, we have to go outside and pray to the spirit's house, and Portia's like, no, wait a minute here. The spirit's gonna stay out there because we rented this place, not them. I was like, she's back, baby. Like, she is fully back. And she just had me in stitches.
No, my God. I actually have like a little montage I want to play of some of her funniest clips. So let's go ahead and play that now.
Okay, Bravo. They really do want me back. They're trying to woo me. Thank you.
Girl, for the last time, this is Peacock.
Huh? Keep it coming. She ain't bigger than a minute. She literally looks like a thumb with a tent on top. Like, this is just too much. It is just... it's everywhere. Like, no.
Now you just accused Marcel of...
I didn't accuse her. Marcel of a bitch.
Truly an icon. Truly a legend. Truly the moment. I, like, need Portia back on Atlanta. And I feel like this season is going to make that happen. This season of Girlship is going to make that happen.
I mean, the moment that the internet is just keeps on playing is when she's like, Bravo really wants me back. And they're like, girl, for the last time, this is Peacock. And she's like, what?
Keep it coming.
Also,
when she called Marisol Marcel. I was not expecting her to kiki so much with Giselle. I honestly thought her and Candace would be besties, but it actually makes sense that they're kind of squaring off because Candace is really book smart and Portia is not.
Portia is famously one of the dumbest people on earth, but one of the most beautiful women on the. To me, Portia is the most, by far, the prettiest housewife across the fucking board. Like, she is gorge.
You know, Candace is kind of filling the Kenya shoes. You know, Kenya always was like, God, you're so stupid. Like, to Portia, I feel like that's kind of what Candace is doing. Like, just can't handle Portia's buffoonery, but then Portia is sort of like over Candace's I'm better than you kind of attitude. And it's just so funny watching them go back and forth. But Candace fucking read too. Like, oh, Candace
can read down. I like that moment of them like fighting when Portia was like, buzzword. And Candace is like, what's a buzzword? And she was like, what you just said, it doesn't fit here. Like, she's like, wait, what? I knew that her and Giselle were going to like hit it off. They did a million episodes of Chat Room when they were talking about when
I
she
didn't know that.
Yeah, that show went on all during COVID and they did like so many episodes. It was originally the tea with Chat Room is it was originally produced by Portia and Kate Chastain, and Kate Chastain hated Portia and Giselle so fucking much. And behind the scenes shit happened that she dropped the show and was like, I don't want to be a producer anymore and left.
Oh my
So it just became, yeah. So it just became the, I think it was Hannah Berner, Kate Chastain, and then Giselle and Portia, and Kate left and just became Hannah, Portia, and Giselle. Hannah, I think Ben left and just became them too. So I knew that when she was talking about like, she's like, you know, I haven't really met her in person that much, but like I know her via Zoom. I was like, me and Reed, literally never met in person.
Yeah, never met in person. We need an ultimate girls trip, Mo.
Ultimate girls trip. Oh, let's go somewhere.
I can't get over like back to you saying that, you know, it opens with Portia narrating. That is just the funniest fucking like way to set this whole season up. Portia being like, and I got the tea on them. There was another moment in one of her confessionals where she's like, what did she say? She's like, apparently in Utah, you can get your ass beat. So I'm not saying shit. Yeah, there's just so much interesting like fallout drama from all these individual shows that made its way onto this season of Ultimate Girls Trip. You have Candace and Giselle beefing over the Chris Bassett allegations. You have Whitney and Heather beefing over their falling out on Salt Lake and season 3 of Salt Lake, and then Heather's black eye and that whole situation. Leah's obviously just Leah and just, you know, always going to say what she thinks. Portia is there being the hilarious narrator. And then, you know, Alexi and Marisol don't have a falling out or any drama between themselves, but I just think they work really well as a duo, kind of commenting on everybody else. So I find that really enjoyable.
And yeah, they're like, they seem like they genuinely like want to know like the tea on everybody. And they're just like the Latin aunts who are sitting there like asking everyone. And there was a moment when Pepsi was like talking about the room situation or something outside, and Heather said something and Portia just looked at her and goes, she wants to have sex with me. It's like, she is so fucking funny.
Can we talk about Heather and how much I hate her?
The first episode was everybody hating Heather when they were talking about
it. Was so funny
who gave the best impression and the worst impression, and Heather was just like pile it on. Everyone was like, well, worst Heather, and then Heather, and well, you know, Heather.
And you know what's so funny, Heather tries so hard to not be a problem. She's like really nice to, well, somewhat really nice to everyone, and even in her confessional, she's very PC with what she says.
She's very self-deprecating too.
Yeah, which is, you know, we've talked about this a million times, but Heather is trying to be that relatable girl that everyone will love. And I think in season 1 of Salt Lake, we were all like, she's just like us. She's a mess and she's willing to admit it. And, you know,
not me. I had that bitch's number from day one.
I know. We've had this conversation 8,000 times, but I feel
I'm
like,
bored. Likely, I'm bored.
Yeah, I'm bored of hearing about it, Mo. But it's just like the fans are finally waking up. I think I woke up. You know, it's like she's trying too hard to be a people pleaser. And then Whitney straight up said it. Whitney said in her confessional on one of the episodes that came out, you know, our relationship changed when Heather started caring more about, you know, her status as a housewife, and Bad Weather suddenly just became like a fun brand name for her. It wasn't really about our actual relationship as cousins. And I find that so interesting because then they would cut to Heather's confessionals and she'd be like, I'm not saying like just all every, she's like, she's like such a fangirl. Like she's watched these shows. She knows about these women. It's like a little meet and greet for her. And she's trying so hard not to piss any of these ladies off. She's like, when they were fighting at the dinner table and it cuts to her and she's like, I have dreamed of this day for years where I'm in a room full of greats duking it out. And I'm just grateful that nothing has, you know, come my way yet. And it's like, Heather, nothing's come your way in this dinner table fight. Cause you're just staying out of everything. Cause you're so obsessed
Well, because you were red the first night for Phil.
Yeah, I mean, she was red, so I guess that's fair. But I just feel like in that setting where she's like, I haven't been attacked yet, and I feel grateful. It's like, you haven't been attacked yet at this dinner table fight because everyone else has clocked in, and you're the only one hanging back, trying to play it cool, trying to, you know, preserve your image. I think that it's so interesting that even the women on this cast with her are noticing Heather's trying way too hard to be likable, to be non-problematic. I don't know. This is really highlighting to me how unbearable she is.
She's for me. So unbearable. Like, I mean, so let's get into like the Leah sobriety thing of it all. Like, so when they first get there, she's like, Leah, how are you going to stay sober during all of this? Like, oh, I want to stay sober, which is like the most annoying thing. Like, I want to stay sober with you, but I also want to drink. As someone who doesn't drink alcohol and has not drank alcohol in almost 2.5 years, I fucking hate when people are like, oh, I really want to stay sober with you, but like, I'm going to drink. Like, I don't care. I truly don't care.
Yeah, just don't say that.
Just don't say it. This has been 2.5 years of my life. It's not a fucking issue. Like, I go out all the time. I'm around drinking all the time. Like, just keep your fucking mouth shut. So then she has the nerve to be like, let's get Leah drunk. Let's get Leah drunk. It'll be so fun. And then.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
Leah comes and sits down, and Giselle is. I hate Giselle Bryant, guys. I cannot stand this woman. I never have liked her. Loathe. But she is so needed on this show and so needed on this trip. Just how I think she's not needed on Potomac anymore because she's not clocked in there. This is new and exciting for her, and she's clocked in here. When Leah sits down, she's immediately like, so you like can't drink like at all, right? And Leah's like, yeah, like at all. Like, I'm no, like drug addict, cannot drink. And she's like, oh, because a minute ago, Heather said, let's get you drunk. And Leah's like, wait, what?
Like, Giselle has no loyalty to these bitches. I mean, they just know. But
Leah's
yeah.
like, well, or Heather's like, well, I just thought it, you know, it'd be fun. Like, you could drink, you know, could you drink for this week? And then she's like, well, I read your book. And Leah's like, my book literally talks about how, like, I was addicted to meth when I was 17. Like, I'm a drug addict. And you're saying that, like, you shady bitch. Like, what the fuck? And I love when they're like all getting breakfast. And like, where's Heather? And she's like, she's probably going to find drugs to give me. I was like,
That was so bizarre to me. Why would, like, she knows that she struggled with hard drugs beyond just alcohol. Why would she, like, that's not funny.
It's not.
I'm going to say this. Okay. So I still hate Giselle, and I'm not a fan of Giselle, but I agree with you. When I was watching this yesterday, I thought to myself, Giselle's kind of entertaining me on Ultimate Girls Trip in a way that she's not on Potomac. And I think it's because on Potomac, those women have such close, tight bonds in history. And so it's hard for me not to get pissed off on behalf of some of my favorites, like Karen, when Giselle so clearly tries to fuck up their life for the sake of the season. But on a show like this, where they're just there for 7 or 8 days and they don't know each other, I think you do need a Giselle. You need someone who's willing to stir the pot, ask the questions. Even with Alexia, she's like, didn't you have a gay husband? Like, she really wanted to, like, she wanted everybody to share their tea. We got into a little bit of a spat in our Bravo group chat last night because I was talking so much shit about Leah. I'm going to walk it back a little bit, okay? Because I rewatched the third episode this morning. Leah is cracking me up. I want to start there, okay? Her going tit for tat with Marisol over the, because if you listen to this podcast, you know that I think Marisol's an alcoholic and I give her Marisol shit all the time. I was crying when she's like, can we wait till noon before we start drinking? have some cereal.
Like, have some yo-yo. Yeah, something.
Like, and that was making me like, I fell out of my chair. So Leah is, and like I said, Leah's a bull in a china shop. So it's just, she got that New York sort of tough skin and she's going to call you out on your bullshit. Obviously, very good for an Ultimate Girls Trip cast. So I want to start there. I think where I like turned on Leah was just like, and my friend texted me this morning and said the same thing. Like, Leah should have just stayed home because she's just like, I don't know. You said she only said it twice. I'm pretty sure she said it more than twice at that dinner table. And she was like, I'm bored. I'm so bored. Can you guys get drunk or something? I'm bored. Like,
well, she's
Leah.
Also used to, like, I'm sure she's used to the Roni women where it's like dinners for them are just drunk chaos. And she's like, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, we're literally sitting at this table. It's our third night here or our third dinner here. And you're sitting here talking about your fucking gay husband, which I've heard the story 3 times since we've been on this trip.
Yeah.
And like she said, Alexia has.
Because they were like telling it. I don't know. I'm on.
Or maybe I think some of them who had heard it were like, bow down to the OG, like Alexia, not like, you know, cutting her off or anything. But I mean, she was so quick with that Marisol shade where she was like, Marisol, you're mad because your stomach hurts because all you've had is vodka today. Like, please go eat something.
Like, it's so funny. Like a former addict who's sober and then like a current addict who's not sober and just them going back. And Marisol even being like, you're the one who had to quit.
Not me. Yeah. Like, bitch, you should quit.
But you know, I've been talking so much shit about Marisol in our Miami recaps. But similar to Giselle, I'm not hating Marisol in this setting. It's cracking me up. Her little commentary on everybody. Her like little beef with Leah and over the sobriety, like I just
wait. Then we find out later in the episode that she texted Leah, which is so fucked up. And she's like, "I'm like, I really support your sobriety. I'm so proud of you, but I wish you could drink while we were here." Like, who texts somebody who's sober that? If I was going on a trip and somebody texted me that, I would text like my other best friends and be like, I don't know if I want to go on a trip with this person anymore. They might like slip me alcohol or something and me not know it. Like, I'm kind of scared. What?
Yeah, I would never accept a drink from Marisol if she was like, here's some water or here's some orange juice. Like, I wouldn't trust that it's not spiked. No. I don't even think that she is aware that she's adding alcohol to liquid. I think it's like a subconscious thing. Like, it just, yeah, she just does it.
Wait, we also have this moment in episode 3. It's like surrounding the sobriety thing where I audibly screamed at my television. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Where they were talking about like Leah's sobriety. It was like Portia. They were all sitting there and she goes, well, I have friends who are like alcoholics and have been sober. And like they asked me to slip them drinks and I give them drinks all the time. And basically saying that she helps her friends who are in recovery relapse. And Candace is like, You do what? Like, you get, why do you give them drinks? And she's like, because they ask. And they're like, what? And that is just her to a T. Like, she wants to be like so bad that she's like, I will do whatever anybody asks, even if it's like making them relapse, even when they're sober. I was like audibly gassed. I was like, you do what, bitch? And Leah was just like, are you in therapy? Also, when they're going at it about Leah saying that Alexia was boring at the last dinner. Portia.
That was over. Yeah, that was
Portia and Giselle. They needed a moment and they were like, listen, it's getting, maybe the drama's winding down a little bit. We're going on this boat. Let's rile Leah up. And Leah was so fucking unbothered where she was like, what? Like, you bitches gave me my period. Then concerning that with the period went into the hot tub. But anyways, I'm not here to talk.
I know. And you could like see her
lady issues.
You could see her vagina like through that bikini bottom, and I'm like, is that like
sanitary?
Is that sanitary? She's like, hey guys, to the staff, and they're all like looking like they must not know.
No, but her just being so unbothered, like taking a selfie for so long in that hot tub with the like Thailand like just sea behind, and them just arguing about her.
I love the unbothered attitude of Leah. Like, that is something I will give her because these women were coming at her hard and she's like, I don't give a fuck. The one thing that I kind of agree with the other ladies on about Leah, though, and this is, I think, where you and I disagree, Mo. Like, Leah does love to, like, play victim, in my opinion. Like, I know she's had a hard life and all this stuff, but in Roni, it was always about, like, her getting shipped off to rehab at a young age and all this stuff. And then her grandma dying, and like that was her whole like drama that season, which I get is a very, you know, real thing that people go through. But like, even in this setting, like she's just like, it just felt like she was just victimizing herself a lot. Even the, you guys made me get my period. Like, they didn't make you get your period, bitch. Like, your period happened.
I don't.
Like,
okay. I've seen this take on Twitter, and like, I don't think that Leah victimized herself once on this trip. Like, she could have when they were fighting with her, and all she said to them was like, we're being really vulnerable at that table, and I was vulnerable about how I didn't even want to do that second season and my grandma died and like my production company, and then you guys are now throwing it in my face, which I think is shitty. And then she walked away from the table, came back and said the period thing, which I think she was just trying to have like a funny moment, and then went into the hot tub and like let it go. I don't think she was like playing the whole woe is me. I think people just like really fucking hate her, and the hate online maybe makes others like subconsciously fucking hate her, because it's just like,
because I don't hate her. I didn't hate her in Roni. Like,
it,
I'm not.
To me,
like,
it's one of the most bizarre things.
You guys
ever
think that I'm a Leah hater, and I when I watched.
No,
Roni,
I think that I you think fine. That you're not a Leah hater, but I think you might be a Leah hater.
I'm so, I don't know. I think that you have certain housewives that you love, and you're not going to critique them, and I'm willing to.
I can critique my faves. Like, I've said it, like, Leah had a really horrible second season, and the reason she had that horrible second season is because the OGs were not doing anything. You had Ebony, who was on a completely different show, and Leah was being inauthentic by trying to create this drama and doing the absolute most, and it just seemed like, whoa, you're doing a fucking lot for TV and nobody's doing anything for TV. It was not a formula that worked,
and she was going
I can fault her there. She was going through a lot, and it's like, someone also brought up, I think Maddie sent us this, where they were like, it was also the height of COVID during season 13, so she probably got onto that trip in the Hamptons, production was like, you can't leave even though your grandma is dying, like, it's
they
COVID.
Probably didn't say she can't. That's the thing, though. I don't really. Back to me thinking that she victimizes herself. Her being like,
well, and production. Production's not going to tell you that you can't leave.
Anyone let me tell me I could go.
Like, that's how it works,
and then
though.
It cuts
they're going
to
be like
Whitney. Yeah, it cuts to Whitney being like, we have the same production company, and there's no way they would like tell you can't go be with your dying grandma. And I think that maybe they didn't like verbally say, please go be with your grandma, but they were probably waiting on you to be like, hey, I need to go be with my grandma. And you didn't do that, Leah. So don't sit here 2 years later and be like, it was just so hard for me because no one was there for me.
I think that's the thing with producers, though. They like are there to play mental games with you. And they're like, hey, we have a shortened like cast this season. Bethany dropped, like all this shit. Like, we don't have Tinsay anymore. We don't have Dorinda. Like, you should just stay, and like, you could go home early if you want. Like, Jersey's only 2 hours away. Like, it's not that far. We'll let you go a little early, but you should stay. Like, we need to make this show. It's the first cast trip. Like, it's your second season. Don't you want to be known as your second season housewife? That's like starting all the drama on the second. Like, it'll make you like a legend. Like, you're here toe to toe with like that's the mind game.
Yeah, you're putting a lot of words in producers.
Listen, that's how they work.
They didn't. How do you?
I know.
There's no evidence that they did any of that. And that's what she's saying. They didn't say anything. They didn't say you could or couldn't. They didn't tell her she could or couldn't go.
I just see myself in Leah. Leah is just like my. I think like if I was any housewife, I'd be Leah, because I'm like, I'm crass. I've been in New York for 10 years. I'm sober. I'm crass. Like I say things, and then sometimes I leave drama. Like, that's my whole thing. But like, I've never felt Leah more when the waiter was coming around and she said, can I have a Red Bull and a cigarette? And that is.
Or, okay, speaking of like asking for things that we need, Mo is holding up his
Celsius and vape.
Celsius and his vape.
It is 9:53 a.m.
And his vape looks like the same brand as Raquel, who was caught on camera by TMZ.
I do want to say, we'll get into Raquel, but Raquel really won me over when I saw that she was smoking an Elf Bar, and she's an Elf Bar girl. If you're an Elf Bar girl, you know, because I am an Elf Bar girlie. What did you smoke, Reed, when you smoked vapes?
So I was like deep in my vape addiction until last October, and I kicked it. It was like probably the hardest thing I've ever done, but I am so, so happy to not do that anymore. Like,
nicotine is one of the hardest drugs. Like, in rehab, they said if you kick nicotine,
I think it's the most addictive drug in the world.
No, yeah, they literally told us that if you kick nicotine while you're in rehab, you have a 99% like success rate or some shit like that. Girl, ain't none of us kicked the nicotine. We all smoked.
Well, yeah, because that, you know, it's the lesser of two evils for you, I'm assuming. But I will say, yeah, that's
five, like five evils. It's the lesser of like 10 evils.
Okay, but anyway, the vaping thing, like, I was so irritable and on edge and anxious all the time. And I didn't I already have like depression and anxiety that I'm medicated for. And I think that it just vaping every day made it worse. Like, my vaping habit started. Like, when I was in college, I would smoke a cigarette when I was drunk. Like, I craved the nicotine buzz. And then that carried over into my young 20s and my mid-20s. And then when vapes came out, it was like, oh, this is a cleaner alternative to smoking a cigarette. But the thing is, I only smoked a cigarette when I was drunk. So, like, it wasn't like a Monday through Friday thing. It was like a couple over the weekend in a blackout, right? But then the vape is so accessible and you can do it anywhere. You don't have to leave your house to vape. Like, it's not going to stink up your apartment. And the vaping started off as a weekend thing, and then it bled into my weeknights, and then it bled into my afternoons, and then it was over lunch. And then suddenly at 8 a.m, I'm drinking coffee and vaping, which is a terrible combination, caffeine and nicotine, which you're doing.
It's all I do. Like, I needed to wake up.
You're levitating. I can see you vibrating. But yeah, it was the hardest thing I've ever quit. I chewed gum like a motherfucker for 72 hours to kick the habit. And I got that little tip from my Nana, who quit smoking cigarettes cold turkey before I was even born. And the way she did it was that she chewed the fuck out of gum. And she told herself, in 15 minutes, you can have a cigarette. And then when 15 minutes would come up, she would say, in 15 minutes, you can have a cigarette. And she would literally just keep kicking the can down the road 15 minutes. Very, very motivational. Very proud of my Nana for that.
Come on, Mima. You
come
better
on,
not.
Come on, Nana. Come on, Brenda.
You better not smoke.
You better not. But yeah, random tangent. Back to Leah needing to smoke a cigarette.
I need to get into Giselle being in her Candace Owens era, because that was just sending me anytime.
Oh, don't speak Spanish.
Literally, it was honestly the translations where I was howling anytime that Marisol and Alexia would speak Spanish. They would slow down like the music and it would go to like a bluish color, and they would be speaking nothing about that. I think she said, Alexia first said, eso me saca, like that, I can't with that anymore. And she was not talking about Giselle, but in the thing it said to Giselle, did you hear what Giselle just said? Like, can you believe it? And then she goes, no Spanish. And they're like, what? This is just how we speak. And then they're at dinner and Marisol was literally just talking about, like, should I have a drink or not? Like, my stomach hurts. And she's like, ay, me duele, no sé. And they're like, just literally talking. And then under it says, that Giselle, I can't believe she really did that. Can you imagine? And Giselle zooms into Giselle's head, like, spinning. And she's like,
like, what are they saying about me?
Yeah. Then she's like, no, my twins talk Spanish around me, and they used to talk about me. And then cut forward to a scene of her twins not talking Spanish at all. Her just being like, como estás? Like,
that's the thing. I feel like Giselle just pulled that excuse out of her asshole to like not she, so that people wouldn't call her racist for being like,
Don't speak Spanish. Like, she's like, no, I get it. It's your culture and stuff. And then I love when Candace was like, I love y'all's little Spanglish, because, like, if you're going to talk about me, like, we'll see it when the episode airs and we'll just see the translation in the bottom.
I mean, the thing is, you can't tell the Miami ladies not to speak Spanish if we're allowing the Salt Lake girlies to speak Utahan, because we're letting Whitney walk around talking about the hillin and the fillin.
And the hell,
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what the fuck that bitch talking about, but I'm living. And also, Alexia had Giselle's fucking number. Like, the second she sat at that table, when she was like,
down,
but like with a nice, she was like, you know, you ask a lot of questions, Giselle. And like, nobody on my show asks questions, so maybe I should take like points from you. But I feel like you ask questions because you don't want to talk about yourself, which is exactly.
And then Candace is like, bingo.
She was like, that part, with her hand, like, which is exactly what the lady said at the reunion, for which hasn't even aired. Hadn't even filmed that yet.
They hadn't even gotten to that yet. And you know what's so funny about Candace, by the way? Clearly just can't stand Giselle. But what I love about Candace is she can let bygones be bygones. She can set beef aside. Like, she does it with Ashley all the time. And she can like coexist with you and you think that everything's cool. And then as soon as someone calls you out on your shady shit, she comes out of the woodwork and goes, yep, agreed. Like, agreed. It's so funny because she's like, yeah, she does it. She did it to Ashley a few times in this season of Potomac too. Like, someone criticizes them for something that she's always had a problem with, and out of nowhere, she's like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that, just on. And I just love that about
her. They kind of had that moment where they were talking about Giselle. Well, first she warned Whitney and Leah about Giselle. She's like, do not, like, you can kiki with her, but do not tell her anything. It'll end up in the tabloids. Then when they're on the yacht in episode 3, when she's like, listen, Giselle is, she starts shit. She lies. Like, she is just, she looks for drama. And then she tells Leah and Heather about the Chris Bassett allegations that Giselle did during season 7. And Leah right away is like, nope. And gets up. She's like, I don't like that. I'm going to go tell her something. Candace is like, wait, what? And she's like, I'm going to go tell her that she talked about me saying that Marisol is boring. So she trots her way over and she goes, Giselle, I'm really angry. Just
That was why? Very much a...
Yeah, why? She's like, you said I was boring, and you said her husband tried to sexually assault you. And then that started the whole Chris Bassett thing. And I did love on like the yacht when they were playing the Spanish game and they were talking about the tiki tiki taka ta, which is, we have completely different dialects, like Cuban and Puerto Rican. So I don't know like a lot of these phrases. Like I know the words because they're Spanish words, but like a lot of them I don't know. When Candace was like, that's right about Giselle, because she always got the tiki 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 and the taka taka. I was like, literally screaming. Also, Leah calling Giselle neck in her confessional.
I know, like she got a page from Candace right there. Not neck.
All them fucking obsessing about the Jen Shah and the black eye. Giselle, this is where I love Giselle in this moment when she
gotta get to the bottom of something.
She was like, "You got a picture? Let me see the picture." She said, "Come on, girl, let me see the picture." And then her being like, "I'm gonna tell everybody that Jen Shah clocked you, and I don't care if it's true or not. I'm going viral." And her just walking away, being like, "She hit you,
Giselle." You know, let's rewind to season 7 that just finished of Potomac. Giselle drove across the state of Maryland to get to the bottom. To get to the bottom of, I think it was Karen going to rehab in Miami or something. Yes. Remember, she was on tour. And so if you think that she's not going to rip up the baseboards of this Thailand Airbnb to get to the truth of what happened to Heather Gay's black eye, you got another thing coming, because we are looking at the next rendition of Sherlock Holmes, everybody.
Then you don't know Giselle Bryant. Also, Portia was clowning. She was in her Alexia era during this whole boat ride. I was like, Portia, you better calm down now. So we end episode 3 with Candace telling Leah, like, you can't let Portia punk you. Like, she's going to keep doing it if you don't, like, stand up for yourself. Give her a little pep talk in the bathroom. Candace stood up for Leah this entire fucking yacht trip. She was basically like, you guys are being bullies. Like, the girl said she's fucking sorry. Like, leave her the fuck alone. She has anxiety. She said she might want to go home. Like, leave her alone. Those two, dynamic duo.
I wasn't
expecting any of this. This is so fucking good. Like, I could not sleep last night at like 1 a.m. and I just rewatched episode 1. I was like, I will rewatch all of these. Like, this is hijinks, it's comedy, it's drama. This is a great cast. It just honestly just feels like they put a new Housewives cast together. Like, it doesn't, we're not like rehab, you know.
I know. It feels this might, like, I don't know. I don't want to overpromise, but I feel like this could be the best Ultimate Girls Trip we've had so far. I need to see all of it to really be able to say that. But what do you think? Like, yeah.
I think it's so good. We have, everybody's having their little moments. Like in episode 3, Whitney was having a little quieter episode 2. In episode 3, came out guns a-blazing when Leah said, well, Whitney, you've been talking shit about Heather with the Mormon thing. That whole thing brought up the black eye. I do love Whitney just sitting with her phone being like, should I show you? Should I show you the black eye?
Whitney's so messy.
Yeah, and Marisol and Alexia with the maracas being like, this will give you a black eye. It's just, we have so many heavy hitters. There's so many players. We're going to be recapping this week to week, guys. Like, I'm obsessed.
What do you think? I know you're trying to move on, but I'm not letting you.
was that apparent?
Yeah, because I feel like you were about to take us to the next segment. And I'm like, nope. Let's talk a little bit about, like, the next girls trip. And obviously, I don't mean season 4 because that's already been filmed. But, like, what do we want for, like, season 5? I put a fun little idea on Twitter yesterday. Although I'm not super married to this because I don't like reusing Housewives for Girls Trip. And I feel like Vicky now having 2 Girls Trip, I don't want to see Vicky on a Girls Trip again. But I was trying to go through like I did Ultimate Girls Trip, the Matriarchy edition, because so many of our franchises have like an older woman that's like clearly older than the other women. And I feel like on Potomac, that's Karen. I know you hate Leah Black, but that was clearly Leah Black on Miami in the original 3 seasons. Like, she was the only one of her age bracket. I guess like Lisa Vanderpump is kind of that for Beverly Hills. I put Dorinda for New York, but I looked up housewife ages and Dorinda is not even the oldest New York housewife. Luann and Ramona are like older, but for some reason, Dorinda just gives you old grandma vibes.
It's the hair.
Caroline Manzo was kind of that for Jersey, even though we're getting her on season 4 anyway. And then like I needed a few other housewives. So like I put NeNe there because I looked it up and NeNe was the oldest Atlanta housewife. But
well, you're older than my oldest brother.
I don't know that
reference when Phaedra's like, well, yeah, no, we're not the same age, NeNe. We were not in high school at the same time. You're older than my oldest brother.
but like NeNe doesn't really like. I was just trying to make a cast.
No,
of eight
she
people,
has
but,
that
like,
young.
She doesn't
energy.
Really. Yeah, like no one on Atlanta really gives me like matriarch vibes. So again, maybe not the best idea that's come out of me. But I was just trying to like brainstorm some fun ultimate girls trip cast. Like, what would be one for you?
For me, I would like to keep it in the realm of let's do people that are currently on their franchise, maybe with like one or two outliers. I think that we need to have Dorit and Erica Jane on a girls trip. I think that would just be
that'd be fun.
Chaos and perfect. I think that we do Dorit and Erica Jane, Marlo and Sheree, because I just think that would be so good. Like, yeah. I know Erica would key with the girls. Mm-hmm. In that same realm, I would love to see Lisa Barlow and just Lisa Barlow from Salt Lake. I don't think we need like Meredith or anyone else on there. Now that we've had Heather and Whitney. So we have Erica Jane, Dorit, Lisa Barlow, Sheree, Marlo. That's five. I think it'd be interesting to go into the OC and get like maybe like Heather Dubrow and like give Tamara a chance again because she's back on. And then let's go into like Potomac and add Karen Huger or like Ashley Darby.
We need Karen.
Yeah,
I need Karen and NeNe on the same season of Ultimate Girls Trip.
That would
give me life. Also, why do we have to have pairs from? I know that we've talked about this before, and you've said you know they have to have some familiarity with someone for it to like work. But I would challenge that. I would love to see a season of Ultimate Girls Trip where we get one wife from every franchise. That means Dubai. That means Atlanta, Potomac, Jersey, New York, Beverly Hills, OC, Salt Lake. I'm at 8, I think. Am I missing anybody?
Yeah, that would be great if we took like, if we had like Dorit, Lisa Barlow, Marlo, Karen, Caroline Stanbury, like
NeNe,
like,
or Chanel Ayan, I think would be really fun.
Chanel Ayan, or we had like Luann again, or Sonia. No, we need Sonia. We need Sonia.
Sonia for sure. Oh my God, you're giving me so many ideas right now. I think like Sonia, who from Jersey?
Let's throw a new girl in there, Danielle, or like Dolores.
Danielle Cabral would be so good. Danielle, Sonia, NeNe, Karen, Dorit, who from OC? Heather Dubrow. Let's throw her in. Yeah, this would be so fun. Chanel Ayan, I think, would be so fun.
That's why this is so good, because the possibilities are fucking endless. Girl.
But no, you're right. Lisa Barlow would be better, I think.
Yeah, Lisa Barlow needs to be on a girl's trip, because she is just unhinged and my favorite on Salt Lake.
I also would love to see, and I forgot, it's called Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip. And I feel like they maybe fucked themselves over by branding it that way, because they're eventually, if they do this for a few years, I feel like they might want to expand to other females in the Bravoverse, and they can't call it Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip if you have like Kate Chastain or what's her name from Million Dollar Listing, or like
Tracy Tudor, Ariana, Gossie, like, yeah, the Vanderpump Girls.
Someone from like Shaws of Sunset. Like, I would love to see them like expand it a bit. Maybe it's still like housewife dominant, but then like add like one or two ladies from other shows on Bravo. That would be so entertaining. They just couldn't call it Real Housewives.
Well, you know, for the last time, girl, this is Peacock. They can do whatever the fuck they want. I love it.
Brand an Ultimate Girls Trip. So yeah,
I think
obsessed.
That they will eventually. I'm obsessed. The season is so fucking good. We will be covering it week to week, guys. So stay tuned, and we're fucking ready because the Vanderpump reunion filmed yesterday, and let's get into the latest episode of Vanderpump Rules.
Are you here to partake in the conversation?
Yeah, what's the issue?
You tell us. Lala literally, like, Raquel,
put a thought together. I know you can do it.
Girl, Lala literally.
Jesus,
won.
Like, dude, can you stop? I can't unsee the f***ing bully that you were to her for no reason. For no reason.
No, there was a reason.
To literally flex your f***ing power.
Why is because she slept with James while we were together.
You had moved on from that.
That is not the reason. You had moved on from it. You have moved on from it. She has not. Okay, she just got this information 2 weeks ago.
This is about something way deeper.
All right, we have to get into some reunion tea as we're getting into this latest episode of Vanderpump Rules because it. So there's cast photos. Everybody's arriving. Sheena, and there's two seating charts because Sheena and Raquel will be filming this reunion separately because Sheena definitely beat that ass. And as we said last week, that everybody's just banding together with Sheena and saying it never happened. And it is giving me like, it's giving me Desperate Housewives vibes, like all of them getting together and being like, this never, you know.
I know. Like, It's giving House of the Dragon, and I hate to do another Game of Thrones reference to you because I know you don't get it, but just like this, lines have been drawn, sides have been taken, blood will be shed.
Someone did that meme of like Katniss Everdeen being like lifted from the Hunger Games in that one movie, and it was like Raquel being lifted from the VPR reunion.
You know those memes of like Ariana Grande with like all the mathematical equations and she's trying to like figure it out?
Yes.
So my dumbass could not figure out what the difference was at first between the two seating chart photos. I was like, wait. I was like, who's missing? Like, it did not click for me that it's obviously Sheena and Raquel because of the restraining order.
I just knew who to look for right away. So I was like, oh, obviously, like, it is that.
And they're sitting Raquel right next to Sandoval. Like, I guess I wouldn't have it any other way, but that's bold.
Bold. Andy was fucking live Instagram storing all of it. He was like, at the end, he said, this is one of the most emotional days he's ever seen. Like, I just cannot fucking wait. This episode of Vanderpump Rules is also so good. Like, it's just
so good.
At fucking Sandoval sticking up for Raquel the entire fight, and Ariana immediately being like, I'm walking away because I'm not doing like Tom versus the girls again. I'm not doing it. That is a girl's girl.
Yeah, or when Ariana was saying like, I feel like the girls are bullying Raquel. I've seen them bully girls in the past and they're doing it now to Raquel. It was kind of heartbreaking because it's like, damn, like you were really on Raquel's side.
Yeah, and she tries to play, like, Ariana doesn't try to play Switzerland. She just is, like, neutrally everybody's friend. So she, like, doesn't try to, like, pick a side. And her just, like, sticking up for Raquel. Also, when Raquel came in and she's like, what's it feel like to be the hottest person alive? Like, oh, you're so hot. Like, I wish I looked like you, basically. And it was, like, all of these things just leading up were just so disgusting and fucking. And Tom and Ariana are, like, yeah, them just being around each other. I'm like, y'all are nasty.
Yeah, it's like, so I think that we talked about this last week. The affair must have started by this time.
It must have started by this time. Must have been, yeah, it started for sure. You can just see like their energies around each other. Him, he stuck up for her a little too much. If you ask me.
Yeah, I was like, there's no way. And everyone's like, we said this last week too. Oh, everyone's like, oh, he's got the lightning bolt necklace on. I think he always had it on. So I don't think that's like a tell. But it will be a tell if we start seeing footage of her with the lightning, with her version of it on, because I think that was when they started, that was their little sign to each other.
That'll be the second we know.
Okay, so what do you think of Katie refusing to cancel her trip to Sheena's wedding?
I think it's petty and I would do the same. Like, fuck you. Your poor ass bridesmaid who couldn't pay for this fucking room should have paid for it earlier because her card probably got declined and they were like, ma'am, you lost your room and she didn't have the money to pay for it. So now I'm going to be petty and stay. I love how she was like, we're just like going on a trip. We're not going to like fucking watch your wedding or anything. And they were like, 2 weeks later.
And then it cuts to the end. Like, it's not like we're going to have binoculars in our balcony. And then it literally goes to, and they're literally leaning over the balcony and they're like, oh, we have such a good view.
Like, and Christina Kelly being like, what if somebody sees us? That is just that cinema. I don't care. Like, sorry, you snooze, you lose, girl. Like, I don't, like, whatever. It's petty. It's petty as fuck. Is it petty? Yes. Would I do it? Yeah. You try to get one of our friends to fucking hook up with my ex-husband, even though we are still in the same friend group. You're an asshole, and I'm going to do it to you, Sheena. I don't care.
Yeah, I guess when I was watching it, I watched it with Maddie and I was like, Katie, you're being so dumb. Like, you have no business being at this resort at her wedding if you're going to like have beef with her like this. But I've kind of come around. Maddie was like, well, you know, you have to keep in mind. It's like, yeah, that's what Maddie said. It's like, this is a cast trip. That means if Katie did take you know, the bait from Sheena and cancel, she would be taken out of it probably 3 episodes at the end of the season. And we were so upset when that happened to Angie Harrington on the Salt Lake cast trip. You know, you really like shoot yourself in the foot when you're not on camera. So whether you got the fact that you guys are beefing means that she should still go on the trip.
Yeah,
to your wedding,
because there's
going to
be
make good TV.
Yeah, the wedding's only going to be 1 or 2 days, and then there's going to be dinners where they all have to meet up. There's going to be fights between that. No, she should still fucking go. And I love that she's bringing Christina Kelly, and she's like, it's her birthday. I don't care. Okay, so let's get into the Raquel fight with the girls, mostly Lala. How she's like, I love when she came up to them and she's like, Lala's like, what? Go, oh, you have something to say? Like, you want to get on this now? And she's like, yeah, I think that you're like a bimbo. I think you're like the worst person ever. And then she walks away like, I ate.
She really thought she ate that. It was so funny. I think, was she drunk? Because she was not getting her words out very well.
She was something, bitch. She was on something.
I will say, though, I'm not a Lala fan, as you all know. I think Lala is overly cocky, thinks that she's the shit. I don't think she is the shit. And I don't know. I was kind of rooting for Raquel in that fight, even though Raquel did such a terrible job of eating down.
She did a terrible job eating down.
She didn't really eat down. She kind of ate up.
Shut the fuck up.
But like Lala still was pissing me off. I don't know. I'm not on anyone's side.
My favorite part of that fight though, when she was like, and James was like, what would you bring me into? I'm right here. Like, I don't got nothing to do with it. Why bring me into it?
And that's kind of where though I am on Raquel's side. Like, Sandoval brought up a really good point. You know, this is new for her. Just because you guys have moved on from it, just because it happened, 6 years ago?
Yeah, you told her like 3 weeks ago. Like, she's allowed to still be pissed. Like,
she's allowed, this is new for her. So for you to be like, get over it. You know, that's you trying to absolve yourself of any guilt. Like, you should
and adding new guilt. Guys, we haven't talked about the mid-season trailer.
It was pretty good.
Pretty good, bitch. It was jaw-dropping. It was so good. I mean, we got moments post-filming. The obvious best part that everyone's reposting is when Tom's like, can I grab you anything? Or do you need anything? And Ariana's like, for you to die. And then there's that moment of her screaming, Raquel! Like, that's what she's mouthing in that scene.
Okay, so, yeah, that was like, I said on Twitter, it reminded me of Hereditary when Toni Collette is like,
yeah, like, no, it was very
and
that.
Her face like rewinds into like a smile. Like that was like literally Ariana in that photo. So they must like, they're in the house. Okay, I was confused by that. So that obviously was after the news broke, that scene.
They're still in the same house together.
Yeah, that is so weird.
He refuses to leave. And she obviously isn't leaving. Like, it's my fucking house. It's weird. Like, dude, go stay with Tom or something. Like, you fucked up.
Yeah, I know you and Swartz have a bunk bed situation somewhere.
Oh, and they like circle jerk together for sure. Dude, you want to come?
Definitely a big spoon, little spoon.
Yeah.
Neither
of them can come because they've had so much coke. Like, Swartz
just taking everyone's side, but Katie's was kind of cracking me up at the party, and then Katie like leaving the party because she's so upset, and then Schwartz coming out there to like apologize to her, and he's like, well, you look pretty, and she's like, get away from me. I fucking hate him.
Like, literally, like, that was so funny. That's why they got divorced. That's literally why they got divorced. Like, you never stood up for our marriage. And he's like, this little fucking buffoon, you look really pretty. She's like, no, literally, she's like, leave me the fuck alone. I hate you.
I just never find myself feeling sympathetic for her. I was never on her side in any of her arguments. So I'm kind of on Schwartz's side. Like, Katie, you're being dramatic. Get over it. But she just can't handle.
She is like a walking
no, you're my
husband. Like,
she is. It's so annoying.
She's like the Debbie Downer clip from SNL.
So boring.
No, it looks really good. The mock-ups are really pretty. It's like this like beautiful ethereal like place, the space is beautiful. Listen, I'll pay $30. I'll fly to LA right now and buy that sandwich for Ariana. I don't give a fuck. I think it's just like a cutesy little idea, like a little health shop.
Sure.
And it's what's it called? She is everything.
It felt kind of like.
The name is good too.
That's what I think it's so dumb.
You're a fucking pessimist. Like,
no, Kate's like,
you hate Katie's women. Like, you hate women. He's like, that is anti-feminist.
I'm a misogynist. I'm a misogynistic pig. The way that Katie is just like, well, if Tom's going to open a restaurant, I want to open one too. Like, that's how it feels to me.
No, I think she's like, I've been in the fucking restaurant industry my entire life. My mom owned a restaurant. I've worked for Sir for 8,000 fucking years. I think it's my turn to do something. Like, what am I going to do?
Oh, that reminded me of something else that Maddie and I were discussing as we were watching this live on Wednesday. It's so interesting that all of these people started off 10 years ago at Sir and Pomp, and they were like broke, and they were servers and bartenders, and they weren't trying to get, they weren't trying to make a career in the service industry. That was like their job to get by while they were trying to like become actors and models like Jax, you know, and Sandoval. And now fast forward 10 years, so many of them are like becoming players in the LA like hospitality scene with Schwartz and Sandy, Tom, and then you've got Katie and Ariana. And like, it's just very interesting.
They can't all kind of, be
like, growing up and becoming.
They can't all do this.
Oh, okay. Mo just pulled Next Level Basic by Stassi Schroeder onto the screen. Get that. Don't ASMR those pages. We don't need that. He's like, hey, stop it.
I was using it to hold my Celsius and vape during the podcast. TBH.
Stassi would be so proud of you.
She'd be so proud, but I feel like now she's like kind of not nicotine-y. She's probably kind of goopy, like in her like goop era. She's like my
She's in her Gwyneth Paltrow bag.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I think she's still like being a basic bitch.
Yeah, overall, like this is a great episode. I just feel like this season is amazing. It already was good before Scandoval came out.
I don't want it to be like a 14-episode season, though. I want 20. Yeah. I don't want this shortened season. I think they were giving us shortened season, and then all this happened. Like, I need 5 episodes of the Scandoval stuff. I need Kristen Doty on for 3 of those 5. Yeah. I need it all. Like, I want...
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I was hoping originally that they would just start filming right away again for season 11, and that season 11 would, like, capture everything that's going
on. But it just takes so long.
But it's kind of... It is smart of them, you know, we care about it right now. So it's smart of Bravo to be like, you know what, let's tack on a few extra episodes. Let's go ahead and get the reunion shot a little early. Let's capture this all right now while it's feeling fresh. I hope they don't put the cameras down. Like, I hope that season 11, the first half of season 11 next year should really just be like this spring and summer. And like, no, what's going on with Scandoval,
or like, you know, September, spring, summer, September. I need anytime around then.
shut the fuck up.
And then, I mean, listen, Jax Taylor on Watch What Happens Live going in, and I miss that cocaine bear. Bring him in.
Okay, that
tap
was
him
so,
in, coach.
That was so funny. Him and Brittany. I miss them. I miss Brittany.
I miss that exit. One of my favorite Vanderpump Rules moments of all time is at the reunion when he's like, when James like, "Hail Bellas, your Hail Bella family, you and them Hail." She's like, "Don't talk about my family. That's my family. Don't talk about them."
I just think it's so funny that like Jax came on to that Watch What Happens Live mad as hell, and mad he was
hell.
Ready,
high he was, as hell. Those he eyes were ready. Bulging.
He was ready to and filled out. I haven't seen them in a while. I don't really keep up with celebrities when they go off my TV shows, so I can't really tell you what they're
doing. Baby, celebrities a very big term.
Okay, D-list.
Bravo, celebrity.
He looks like he got some filler, like the Lisa Hochstein season 4 of Miami filler, like almost. His face was puffed out.
Well, his face is always so puffed because he probably was on a bender. He's like, "We don't got the kid this weekend."
Yeah, had a baby. Oh my god. He was. I cracked up though when he was like, "I want to go ahead and preface everything I'm saying with, I don't have a leg to stand on here," and everyone in the crowd just laughs because it's like you've done this same fucking thing to Brittany, and she's just sitting right there like, "I don't want to call her a clown, but girl,
it's giving clown, rotten hail,
rotten hail."
I'm on the brink of freaking out. Well, I'm on the brink of covering the Real Housewives of Miami. So without further ado, let's get into the Real Housewives of Miami reunion part 3.
Go, 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 go.
Adriana, I'm writing to tell you I'm being abused. That's right, I'm abused every day and night and sometimes afternoons too. The culprit of this abuse is Marisol. She disregards her well-being and therefore mine as well. I believe she's not a bad person, but she's unwell and needs an intervention from a friend who doesn't enable her and understands that glorifying alcoholism is not funny to me. I'm afraid I can become chopped liver for saying this, but if it continues with her excessive drinking, like she might kill me in the end. Please help. Sincerely, Marisol's liver.
So we end this Miami reunion. It is, I mean, it's just as explosive as the rest of them. It's basically Andy trying to get Adriana, Marisol, and Alexia to make up, and it's just not happening.
It didn't really work.
Yeah, let's talk about the clip we just fucking played, because that was one of Adriana being like, somebody has been abused. And they have been abused by Marisol. And I have a letter to prove it. Andy truly thought it was like, who's this letter?
I know, everyone, it was cutting to every housewife's face as he was reading this letter. And everyone's like, oh no, who did she abuse? And then it's like, signed, Marisol's liver. And everyone, and then you hear her go, oh, Jesus Christ.
But also, Andy just being like, dude, like, we were just trying to mend your guys' relationship, and you're sitting here like, you do this. Like, do you understand why they don't want to be your friend? But yeah. I love Adriana's cry. It's just when she's like, and everything is so bad to me.
The thing is, Adriana thinks, I don't think she realizes that she's on a reality show. I think that she thinks she's on a Spanish telenovela. And yeah. She is clocking in, baby.
I want so badly for you two to be my friend. They're like, no. They're like, no, you're an asshole. You just talked about my son who had a fucking accident. Like, what is wrong with you? All of that. I noticed something when Alexia, they were talking about the Des Moines Foundation. And Andy is so good at baiting when he's like, so, like, why did you feel that way? Like, oh, that really tore you up, didn't it? What about it tore you up? And that's just, like, it always humanizes Alexia because she has her moments of clownery. But, like, the Frankie stuff just really, like, humanizes her. And, like, it's such a tough thing to deal with. And he just is so good at, like, baiting out the emotions of them. And I was like,
yeah, Andy's...
You little producer.
You know, you said that this episode was just as explosive as... parts 1 and 2. I don't know. I kind of felt like part 3 was...
I think I was just saying that to try to get the intro going, honestly.
I was in my podcaster hat. Why must we have 3 parts of reunions every time now? Like, we don't need 3 parts.
I thought that we, like, sometimes
Salt
it doesn't
Lake
have
did
to
not.
Be...
Salt Lake
well,
did
oh,
not
babe,
need 3.
Baby, that needed a 30-minute special, mama.
And I don't think Potomac needed. Well, no, wait, Salt Lake. Wait, hold on.
Salt Lake was only 2 parts.
Yeah, I'm making up false information. So Salt Lake did it right, only doing 2. Potomac, I don't think Potomac needed 3 because it just kind of came back to the Candace and Giselle fighting over Chris. We already saw that in the part 2 and the part 1. I think
Miami needed 3. I liked all 3 parts. Like, some were slower than the others. I really liked getting to know Kiki more in this part. She spoke a lot. We talked about her history. I love Kiki, and I can't wait for her to be around next season. I want to get into, like, her home life. I want to see, like, I don't know if she can. Yeah, she can bring her kid into the show and stuff. Like, you know.
It's weird that Kiki, Adriana, and Marisol are technically friend ofs, but because Adriana and Marisol used to be full-time cast members, they get the full-time cast treatment anyway. And
they stay around.
They were in all 3 parts, but then Kiki only gets to be there for 1 part of part 3. That didn't feel right to me because they're all equally fun.
Well,
to
she watch. Came in and she came in part 2.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, I just felt like it's like almost like there's 2 levels of friend doves in Miami. And that just begs the question, just make Adriana and Marisol full time.
No,
like,
the thing is,
it's so weird to me that they're not on the cast photo.
It's budget. It's Peacock. It's budget. They're only in like the second season of their reboot. Maybe in season 3, they'll up the budget. As Meg Thee Stallion said, up the budget. And they'll bring them in. But like, honestly, they're full-time housewives. We all know they are. They have solo scenes. Like, they're full-time. I think they just can't afford it. And yeah, we never have had that before where they get the full-time treatment and they don't get like sent off. Like, every other friend of gets sent off and it's the awkward, like, bye.
Also, husbands didn't make an appearance in the Miami reunion. And I think it's because most of them don't have one.
What? Oh!
Like pretty much every Housewives reunion includes a segment, usually in part two, right? When the husbands come out.
I don't really need it. Potomac, I think it's needed because the husbands came into the drama this season.
Jersey, but I'm sure it's needed.
Oh God, Jersey.
we're gonna save that for the very end, guys, because we don't have very much to say. I'm not criticizing the fact that they didn't have husbands because, like you, I don't think it's always needed. And especially on the show like Miami, like Alexia just got remarried, but we didn't really see a whole lot of him this season. Last season we did. Adriana is single. I don't know if they're all single, but they don't have husbands. Marisol, Adriana, Larsa, Lisa now definitely doesn't have a husband.
Marisol has a husband. Steve.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. They talked about it this reunion when they were like, we married the two most gringos, Steve and Todd.
Okay. I thought she was married to the alcohol. I guess that makes sense.
Fuck off.
Dirty as a hubby.
She got a fine.
Yeah.
I don't think we have much more to talk about for this reunion. Like, it was good. I want to end this on, because we do need to get into Jersey. I want to end this on my favorite part of this reunion, when they were fighting and Adriana goes, Larsa, it's not about you. And Larsa goes, everything's about me. Shut up. Andy was like,
okay, Larsa. So the Larsa stands that I like said last week, I don't understand how you can be a Larsa stan. They're like defending her to the death over that Nicole, unlike you, putting people to sleep. They're like,
that is horrible.
Everyone that's a Larsa stan that I follow is like, she was clearly kidding you guys. She was clearly just doing it for a funny TV moment. It's like, okay, no, what she was doing was trying to come up with a clapback off the tongue, off the cuff. And it didn't really work. But then I love that Tiffany Moon, who I think was on Dallas, right?
I can't with that.
But did you see Tiffany Moon? Like, she posted a reel where she like clapped back, and I was living like that whole reel. She was like, we do a lot more than put you to sleep. And she was listing all the things they do. And I didn't actually even know all that. And then she was like, you know, so yeah, next time you get a surgery, Larsa, I hope. No, the best part of that read when she was like, based off all the surgery you've gotten, I'm assuming that you have had anesthesia. Like,
yeah.
For that,
I love that. That's oof. Oh my God.
It was a great season of Miami. I'm happy. I'm sad that it's over, but I'm happy that it happened.
I'm sad it's over. I'm happy it happened as well. And it feels like it's not over because we get our Miami ladies on Girls Trip, and I'm living for it. It was like, it was just perfect. Let's get into the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
With Danielle this week, she was saying that you have like this like arsenal, like you were like locked and loaded, like you had information on every single one of
us. Not nice.
No. Locked and loaded with information? No.
She said that you were judgmental.
I'm not judgmental. No. I think I'm opinionated.
Someone who referred themselves as the bougie mama has a lot of nerve talking shit about me, but she barely knows me. Bougie is like a wannabe. Someone who thinks they're all that and fancy, but they're not.
An arsenal, which you know what I know about you. Bougie.
Okay, famously, Reed and I know if you're like a New Jersey lover, you're probably like turning off this podcast and we talk about Jersey because we have not been super excited about it. I loved this episode. I thought it was fucking great. Maybe I watched it at a really vulnerable point in the night, but I was really into it. I thought the allegiances with the where people were staying in the Jersey Shore houses was great. We saw Jennifer Aiden's new, very, very poor looking townhouse. It was like, oh my God. Rachel, money, rich, very nice shore house.
Yeah. Very nice. I never realized until this episode that Rachel kind of looks like a mouse or like a who from Whoville.
Yeah, we've said it, Rita, Tim Burton character.
Yeah, like the Coralie. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Or Coraline, or whatever her name is.
I don't watch that man's movies. Or shows. But I really am enjoying Rachel. There was a moment this episode where Teresa was like fighting with her, and I wish she would have fought back, but I think she's just a little too new and timid to like go up against the beast. She was like looking in her purse. She's like, what do you mean? I just said that. So basically Rachel went back to Marge and told her that Jennifer and Teresa were warning her, basically like Marge is a ruthless. Do not. She's better as your friend than your enemy. Like, don't do it. So she went back and warned them. And Teresa was like, why the fuck would you do that? Trying to start shit between me and Margaret? Huh? Why would you do that? And she was just like, well, I was just like repeating what you said. And
that was queen behavior. Like, I just telling her what you said.
Yeah. Like, I was like, okay, work. And then we have the same luau where Danielle is, she was ready to fuck a bitch up. She was like, I'm gonna beat somebody's ass. I hear my name being brought up and I don't like it. And that's mother. That's mother.
Okay, that's mother. And I have an idea for Jersey on how to make Jersey like good again. Okay, because I know I don't really have a leg to stand on here because I haven't started season 4 yet. I took a little detour. I'm currently binging Desperate Housewives, which I'm loving. I'll come back to Jersey soon, I promise. But I know enough from you guys to know that it kind of has been boring for a while, and that we started off this season really hoping that we were going to have like an exciting season because we have these fun, new, exciting women, but it still just feels like it's being dragged down by the perpetual drama of Melissa versus Teresa. Here's what I'll say. Danielle Cabral, I think, has the potential to be the next Teresa Giudice. Here's my pitch to Bravo, okay? I think Melissa Gorga needs to leave the show after this season. Next season, they need to do a soft reboot of Jersey. Let Teresa stay on one more season, but then phase Teresa off and kind of have like a new class of women led by Danielle Cabral. And here's what I want them to do. Danielle Cabral keeps talking about this drama with her brother. It reminds me so much of season 3 that I just finished, where we were introduced to Joey and Melissa and the drama with Teresa. They need to basically
go in here. I see where you're going here.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, history repeats itself. New head bitch, Danielle Cabral. She's like the blonde Teresa Giudice. Bring her brother.
Alexia.
Yes, true. But in the confines of Jersey. Period. Danielle Cabral, I think, because we haven't seen her get angry yet. We've seen her be funny and just hilarious, but she got angry in that moment. And I saw Teresa in her. I saw someone who would fight, who would fucking
throw the glass and bah!
Yeah, like, is bitch better?
Yeah.
And I was just, I saw in that moment an opportunity where Danielle Cabral could be the next Teresa Giudice. We bring on her sister-in-law. That could be the next Melissa Gorga. And then that could like carry us into the future with Jersey. And then just sort of phase Teresa out after a while. Teresa can be iconic for life, but like she's not really bringing it. And just
she could also give her advice. Like, you know, I dealt with this. I've been here.
But I think we got to get Melissa and Joe off so that we can end this infinite cycle.
Oh, God. And, yeah. Even though, you know, I mean, I... As much as we say Melissa and Joe, I think it's just because Teresa has a bigger standing on this show. But when Teresa and Jennifer were shopping for the wedding jewelry, they were doing the same shit that fucking Melissa and Joe do. It was like they keep, why would I be staying at my brother's house? I never stayed at my brother's house. Why the fuck would you stay at your brother's house? You won't even invite his mother-in-law. And then that
whole
thing. Yeah,
you're not even like friends.
Yeah, where it's clear where she was like, I wasn't doing it out of spite not to invite his mother-in-law. And then we find out this episode that she was doing it to spite them back for something that happened 10 years ago when him and his sister were tweeting about Teresa during the whole fucking christening fight. And then she's like, Louis's like, well, I wanted to invite Donna. And then she's like, well, go invite her. And then he's like, Donna, is Donna here? No, Donna's left.
And then the whole drama with whose mom got invited? Because she came up to Teresa at
Marge Sr. Not Mark Sr. getting invited, and then we'll see, like, what the fuck? My mother wasn't even invited. Like, I truly could not. One of the moments that I love, where I was trying to find a clip of, but I can't find it anywhere, is when Jennifer Aiden, they're like, wow, Jennifer's drunk, cuts her on the dance floor, and she's like, love is love, baby. I was like, okay, Lin-Manuel Miranda in 2018, calm the fuck down. I love Jennifer Aiden. I'm obsessed with her.
Speaking of drinking, I was just shocked and appalled at the volume of alcohol that those men were consuming. Like,
I was disgusted.
That was like, that is a lot of booze, you guys, and no wonder they're fucking fighting and like popping off like rockets. Like,
yeah, no, they wasted. Were like chugging Casamigos, chugging Marisol would do toxic, so well in that group.
Like, if an alien came to Earth and was like, "What is the definition? Like, what do you guys mean when you say toxic masculinity?" I would sit them down and point them to the men of the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Like, I was just literally disgusted. They were a fucking mess. I could not. I want to get into the Jackie of it all, because Jackie is trying. She didn't have a confessional this episode, and I'm like, it's a lot of about her and the fight that she's starting, so it's weird that she doesn't have a confessional, which led me to ask the group chat, has she had a confessional all season? And the answer was yes. But yeah, her saying that there's much more to the Danielle story, she's just not letting up on Danielle. She's like, she is snooky. There's something that she did to this sister, to this brother and this sister-in-law, and there's more to the story, and I want to find out what it is. And listen, she's working. Jackie's working for that check. And did she get a check? We don't know. But she's there, and she's trying.
She probably got like a gift card. She probably got like a gift card to Olive Garden.
You know she ain't using it.
When you're here, you're family.
I don't know. People hate Jackie. I like Jackie, but I wish that Danielle would have came up. But it seems like it's a brewing, because in that cab ride, the Spencer van ride home after Melissa's luau party, she was like, "You don't fucking want me as your enemy, Jackie. I will go the fuck off. That's the last person you want." And her husband's just sitting there quiet, because he knows she'll fuck somebody up. He's like, boop, boop. I do love when she was like, "Yeah, something to say? You got something to say? Come over here." I'm like, I do wish she would have went in, but she didn't.
Danielle, by the way, her husband, I'm just going to suck it right off the bone, you guys.
And I'm going to wait till then I'm going to suck it off, too.
He's mine. He's so fine. I don't know what it is about him that is so hot to
me. His top body is so funny, though.
No, I love it. I think it's like he's built, but he's also got dad bod at the same time. I don't know. Yeah, like,
he's got like titties, but he's like built.
I think his face is so cute. And I just think I love his personality.
He also has really good fade. He also has like always has a good haircut. Like the fade is fucking
faded. It's big. I know it's big. And I know
it's pink. It's big. It's thick.
What's up with the pink, the pink dick obsession? I don't find that attractive. What are we talking about? Why are we calling penises pink?
Well, as somebody who in the camera right now is getting quite rosy to me in this in this argument, I can see why you're not into it. So,
okay, I'm not commenting on that. But
Reed is literally went from a shade of white to a shade of pink in his face so fucking fast.
That came together a little late for me, but
As someone with rosy undertones, I can see why you would get upset. But listen, I'll take
shut the fuck up.
I'll take a dick in any color, baby. I don't need it to be pink, white, black, blue, whatever. You got a dick? I'm gonna take it.
Mo doesn't see color.
He just
sees cock.
Quite like Sutton Strack in season 12 of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I don't see color.
Tell me you're that girl.
Tell me you're that girl that I think you are.
My cock agreed right now. That's all I got for Jersey, guys. Thank you so much for listening. This literally girlship has like reinvigorated me into Bravo.
I know. Right? We've been in a little bit of a lull.
Like, we were talking about it last week. There wasn't much going on. Like, I mean, there's the Scandoval drama of it all. Vanderpump, yeah, but there's not really much. Bravo. Hey, OC. Where the fuck's the trailer? We need it.
Wake up!
Wake up. You just posted a fucking meme of Gino waiting for the trailer like the rest of us. Where is it? Roni.
Where's
the Roni trailer?
Where's Roni? Where's
Atlanta?
what's going on with Atlanta? What's going on with Beverly Hills? I just, you know, for me, I love Beverly Hills. I love Potomac. I feel like we're kind of in my off season right now. Like, I'm not really loving Jersey. I'm not sure I'm going to love OC, but we'll see. And then the last season of Atlanta was just meh. So I don't really know if I'm excited for this new season of Atlanta either.
I'm not excited for the new season of Atlanta, especially seeing Porsha. I'm like, Atlanta is one of my fucking favorites. It is so good, but it's just like, I don't know. It's just,
yeah,
I hope
it just feels like,
I hope I'm wrong.
It feels like for half of the year, they have the really exciting housewife shows that, at least in my opinion. And then the other half of the year feels like a snooze fest a little bit. So I think they're
really waiting for that, like, Summer by Bravo thing that they used to do, mm-hmm. you know, like, they used to do like those commercials, Summer by Bravo. And it was like, so they would get all the stars from it. It was like BravoCon, and they would do these like elaborate commercials. You should look them up. They're iconic.
Well,
what else you got?
I was just going to say, we have Ultimate Girls Trip, like you said. And I think that those are going to keep things spicy, keep things exciting. We're definitely going to cover it all here on the podcast. Vanderpump is certainly like going to be top of mind as we get closer to that reunion. So lots to cover, but we got to make it through this housewives drought that we kind of have had for a couple weeks.
Agreed. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. You know where to find us: About_Bravo, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, all of the things. We are pausing the Patreon for a little bit. We forgot to talk about this in another episode. We're just like trying to get you guys episode week to week, and we've been on such a tight schedule, especially since Reed came on. Reed is our little OCD king, and I'm obsessed with it. You really are. I think we're going to take like maybe a 1 week break here and there, but we're never going to take longer than that. We've been like constantly releasing shit for you guys, and we're going to keep the Patreon there. The link is in our episode's description.
It's in the link tree. $3?
$2. If you want to support us, we're going to use this to give you guys the regular episodes. We also, like, this is expensive, guys. I bought a very fucking $600 mic that I'm paying off, okay? There's a lot of costs that come with this podcast.
We host our podcast through a site that pushes it out onto the platforms. That's like, how much is that a month?
That's like $28 a month.
Then we also like pay an editor to help us edit. There's a lot. Like,
we pay our king, Benji. Yeah, we pay Mematic to bring you guys memes. There's a lot of costs.
We're willing to pay for it, but the Patreon is just a way, if you really like us and if you just want us to succeed, like, feel free to subscribe. It's just that I think before I joined, you guys were offering something on the Patreon, like extra episodes. And we just haven't been able to do that, you guys. Like, we don't have enough time. We don't have enough people.
We also don't have enough content. Yeah, Zach's away. There's not a lot of content going on.
I know every time that we talk about doing like a Patreon episode, I'm like, but why don't we just do that on the main episode? It's good content and I want people to have access to it. So to Mo's point, you're not going to see any exclusive content on the Patreon for now, but we're not going to like take it down. So if you do want to throw us $3, go do it. I'm certainly not going to say no to it.
Yeah, I'm not either. Thank you guys so much once again. Bye.